So we bow our heads as we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by your Holy Spirit, stir us and move us deep in our hearts. Remove the blinkers from our eyes and the fog which clouds our minds, so that we can see clearly and understand your gospel of love. We pray that the Holy Spirit will give us the grace to respond. May I speak in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please, would you sit down? Today, we meet a man called Nicodemus, a man who made it his business to have a face-to-face conversation with Jesus. And Nicodemus comes to see Jesus at nighttime. He comes secretly to escape being seen. You see, he was afraid of the hostility this would invite from his fellow Jewish Pharisees, those elite top 70 leaders who formed the Sanhedrin. These men were already jittery about Jesus. He'd already called them whitewashed tombs because they were all show and no heart, and so they were on the lookout to trip him up. They wanted him gone. He was far too challenging for them with his message of love and forgiveness and his beautiful miracles of healing and peace. One of them, Nicodemus, is a wealthy, powerful religious man. But he's a man with an itch that neither he nor his money nor his power can scratch. So Nicodemus is conflicted and confused, but he's also very curious, and he visits Jesus at night. Nighttime refers to the literal time of day, but in John's gospel, it means so much more. It has a very strong spiritual meaning. In the Bible, the term night often refers to a period of trials and distress and troubles. In John's gospel, night is mentioned 7 times, starting with Nicodemus. It's a recurring number. There are 7 signs, 7 I am sayings, and so on. It's intended to highlight the event, to create a greater impact. It's as if John is saying, take note, this is very, very important. Nicodemus visits Jesus literally at night, and he's also in spiritual darkness because he can't see the truth. He hasn't got it. This highly educated academic man was spiritually confused and blinkered, but he really wants to know the truth. God said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. A verse from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, which Nicodemus would have known very well indeed, and he acted on it. I wonder if we have that same desire as Nicodemus to keep on looking for the truth, to keep on asking Jesus. Maybe the response that Jesus gave to Nicodemus puts us off, because he said, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Everything will fall into place when he's born again. Oh my goodness. That phrase has sadly become well-worn and hackneyed, and often used in a derisory and cynical way. Born again. I've certainly heard comments about those happy, clappy, oh, be joyful, born again types by people who want to distance themselves from that perception. But we should cut the cynicism and critical views and grasp the reality and the importance of what Jesus is saying. When the Holy Spirit of God moves and stirs in a person, and when they start to respond to that, we see things in an entirely different light, and everything starts to make wonderful sense. Being born again means we allow Jesus to take center stage in our lives. We allow him to erase every single mistake and wrong that we've done. And with a clean slate, we long to move forward, becoming more and more like Jesus, being filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, and able to give and receive Jesus' love more and more graciously. What is not to like? Whether we choose to worship God in a happy clappy or quiet reverential way is irrelevant, but the fact that we want to be in the presence of Jesus, that we want to worship, is a sure sign that the Holy Spirit is moving and stirring within us. Did Nicodemus respond and believe in Jesus? Did he trust him? Did he stake his life and reputation to be born again? Well, unlike the fishermen who left their nets and their livelihoods immediately to follow Jesus, Nicodemus went back to his job as a senior Pharisee in the Sanhedrin. But as time went on, things changed significantly for Nicodemus. Obviously, his fellow Pharisees would lynch him if they discovered that he'd had a tete-a-tete with Jesus. He'd be deemed a traitor, so he kept it under wraps. He continues with his religious duties, but his attitude and his outlook start to be transformed. When the other Pharisees and priests start plotting to arrest Jesus, Nicodemus sees his behavior and thinks that it's definitely not God's way at all. And he plucks up the courage to say, "Come on, chaps, Jesus deserves a fair hearing before you form your opinion. Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" Oh, how Nicodemus wants his colleagues to grasp the way that he's now beginning to see things. But they don't. They ignore Nicodemus. They've already and arrogantly made up their minds. Nicodemus was different. He's already shown humility by listening to Jesus, and now he shows divine courage by standing up for what is right. We meet Nicodemus one more time, which shows how real and genuine his born-again faith in Jesus is. It seems that another member of the Sanhedrin had secretly made a decision as well to be a born-again believer, and that was Joseph of Arimathea. How wonderful of God to enable that mutual encouragement. What a gift they were to each other. Joseph decided to openly provide his own burial chamber for Jesus, and Nicodemus provided the extremely costly burial spices in full view of everyone. Together, they had the courage to ask for Jesus' body and take it down from the cross to prepare it for a dignified and lovingly reverent burial. They expressed their faith in actions as their trust in Jesus steadily grew within them, and they risked their reputation and their lives to do so. However hackneyed the phrase born again, Jesus tells us that it is an essential requirement of being a Christian. It isn't something we inherit or assume. It's a definite, conscious decision we make in response to the stirring of the Holy Spirit. And it reminds me of the song that we used to sing in Sunday school. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. It's a hymn from India, based on the last words of Nok Seng, a Garo man, a tribe from Meghalaya, which was then Assam, who converted to Christianity in the middle of the 19th century. It's sung today by the Garo people, and it's an anthem of those under persecution, because Nok Seng's family were killed in front of him for being believers, and then he was killed for being a Christian. But the chief who killed them saw their faith, saw how real it was, and he too declared that I too belong to Jesus Christ, and the whole village became Christians. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. So, like Nicodemus, let's come humbly to Jesus and ask that we might be born again in the Spirit and in truth. Amen.